Alright guys, welcome back to the Q&A session with Xiaxie.
Alright, so these are your questions from Instagram. Let's start with the first one. How did you start up your career?
Me? Only me or for all of us?
You? No, it's for you. It's for you.
Huh, for me only?
It's the Xiaxie podcast.
Okay, well, I started it out by writing on blogger.com.
I remember those days.
It was not a career at that time. It was just me putting a sort of a public diary.
What was your breakthrough moment? Like, what was that one post where like everyone just started coming in?
Actually, there wasn't really a breakthrough.
So it was like gradual?
It was really gradual, but it really exploded within a week. So I was very surprised because I only gave my URL to two people.
So it was an organic growth.
Yeah, it's
so
both
it was
them
like
my
for
friends.
Friends?
Yeah, it's just friends.
Okay.
Purely just friends.
That's interesting.
And then within like 2 weeks, they started to give it to their friends. Their friends gave it to their friends. And I think really there was a lack of content last time, you know?
Right.
Like, yeah.
Really, when like, we were first discovering the internet, right? And there
like,
weren't
whoa.
Many people with nice blogs. I remember playing with, HTML?
Yeah.
Oh man, those
being
were the
so
days.
Freaking
you
bored.
Can customize
oh,
your
yeah,
own
Friendster,
blog.
Friendster yeah, page, right? At music when people visit you.
That's why. At MySpace, oh my god. Mm. MySpace. Then it became like, within 2 weeks, it became like hundreds, like 300 followers, 300 viewers a day. So you can click, you know those like counting type, what is it called?
The counters.
So it would jump and then I can see that it's a very medieval thing, like just counts how many page views.
Yeah.
I was like 300, who are these 300 people? It just grew from two. Yeah. I gave it to nobody else.
That's before
like,
anyone was an online celebrity
or any kind of
online star.
No such thing. Yeah.
Shout out to your two friends, yo.
Yeah.
So how did you evolve from that to YouTube and other stuff?
I guess, you know, YouTube really started for me sort of like with Click Network. So I have like zero experience. Until now, I'm still really bad with like equipment and things like that. Ask me to film myself, I really cannot. Yeah, so.
So you're not very technical. You're not very technical.
Dad is laughing.
She was telling me about not being able to connect the mic to the camera.
Yeah.
Before we started rolling, I was just laughing.
Actually, I only knew like last year that thing was called a lapel mic. It was just microphone to me. I didn't even know what it was.
Yes.
Stop laughing, okay?
There are different types of mics.
Yeah, different types of mics.
So, I mean, all my technical stuff was done by Click Network.
Oh,
so, and then because
and
of Guide to Life. Yeah, now I hire like somebody
okay.
to do it. Yeah.
Okay. But you're still doing with Click Network, right?
Yeah, I'm still working with Click Network.
We have an interview tomorrow, right?
Yes. For a new program.
Yes, ooh. Awesome. Okay. Your next question. Your advice for new influencers.
Don't
step in this industry.
Yeah.
It's the shithole, guys. You don't want to be part of this.
You know, I just feel that, you know, when somebody tells you they want to be a singer, want to be an actress and stuff, it is just one of those things that it can potentially pay you a lot, but it's very, very hard to get there.
Well, I think the saying that I want to be an influencer is almost the same as saying I want to be famous.
Right. Yeah.
I think if you really want to get and step into this industry, there has to be something more than that. There has to be some value you provide. For example, I want to make people laugh. Or I want to share my knowledge about tech.
Yeah. But that doesn't pay the bill, you see.
Oh, I want to do
so
makeup.
I want to do makeup.
Do makeup.
Yeah. So my advice is that don't start off with wanting this as a career.
Right.
Start off with you doing it even if there's no money. So that is when you know that you really have a passion for it. You know that you will stomach all the hate and the nasty parts that come with it because you love it so much.
Mm.
And if you don't have that to sustain you, it's the same as you being stuck in any other regular job that you hate.
It's true.
Yeah.
Wow.
And plus the chances of success is very low and it's very easy for you to be replaced. Yeah.
Very easy to be replaced.
Very easy to be replaced.
And the market is so saturated now.
Correct,
there's so many influencers. There's a high chance that whatever you plan to do, someone's already doing it better.
Correct, yes.
And
with a much bigger head start.
With
you.
A much bigger audience as well.
If I didn't start so early, I just wonder, I would never really be able to hit 600,000. You know what I mean? It's a huge number.
It comes with timing.
Yeah, yes. correct. It was really because it was from the start. And I don't know how many people, some of them have legit maybe died, you know. Right from the start, like maybe their account was just like dead. Not account dead, like the person
okay.
dead.
Wow.
Well, how would you know? I'm sure some of them that follow you from the start, maybe they legit have passed away by now. It's a very depressing.
Well, that's a strange way to judge.
Someone told me about this with their Facebook, and I'm like, okay, please don't ever say that. I don't know. I don't want to know how many ghost followers actually have.
Oh my god, that's true. And I just wonder, you know, like Shit, I lost my train of thought. Okay.
Okay, we're talking about death.
Death. Okay. Oh, no. Okay. I wanted to say, you know, because I feel that I am very secure in where I am because I know that I'm different from the rest of the influencers. And there is a certain, like, comfort in knowing that, okay, like, you know, among the influencers, I'm one of the top, right? It makes me feel good about myself. I feel like I'm someone. I've achieved something. I don't know how the other influencers, the micro ones or whatever, how would they feel if you are in a career and you're not one of the best? Does that constantly make you feel like you're not good enough? You know, does it make you feel like I'm just one of them? I'm so easily missed. I'm invisible.
Well, I think you took a few years to get to where you are, right? Yeah. So maybe how did you feel at the start?
At the start, no, because then there were so few people. I've never felt that feeling before. Okay. And it's very easy to feel that way because, you know, sometimes even when I go to like an influencer event, right? The events, they invite a lot of influencers to go. I look at other influencers, they're so pretty. They're tall, they're slim, right? Mm-hmm. And then it just makes me feel like smaller, like I'm literally...
Yeah, but what you say can also apply for any industry. Or like, let's say if you're a journalist or accountant, obviously you won't be the best when you first start.
Well, right. I don't think accountants will constantly feel like I'm the worst accountant out there. Yeah, I'm just a regular accountant, you know? Like, oh, I'm a journalist doing his or her job. I may not be the best, but...
Yeah, this is definitely a very subjective...
Yes.
Yeah. Merits are based on
subjective. And you talk about accounting, you talk about... Okay, like accounting is quite easy to see whether you're good or not good, but journalist is very subjective.
Correct.
Whereas looks, right, it's so easy to tell. Like, I'm the ugliest in the whole room of pretty girls.
Okay.
Or maybe I got hired for an ad for a skincare and my skin is the worst out of everybody's. Like, maybe they feel small. I don't know. What do you think?
It's a bad feeling and this guy has experience.
Oh yeah, man.
We sent him to where was it? LA, was it?
Yeah.
We sent him to the States, right, for a tech event.
Mm.
And there was a very mean comment about you.
Yeah.
So it was him.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, please,
and
please
a lot of other tech reviewers, and these are like the biggest tech reviewers.
Biggest.
Like MKBHD guys like these, right?
Technical guru.
Yeah, there was one tweet that went viral. What was it?
Oh, it went viral somehow.
Yeah, it went viral.
Why am I even there?
Right.
Something like that? Something meaner.
Something about like this peasant.
Oh, yeah. Peasant among kings.
Oh, yeah, no, something like that.
So rude.
I was like, oh, that's really mean.
Why would it go viral though? It's so like stupid and personal.
You know these things. They
because Singaporean YouTubers compared to like States. Yeah.
I do feel that way sometimes when I go to these international events where there are other influencers with millions and millions. I'm like so insignificant. But of course I take comfort in the fact that I'm okay lah in Singapore, right? So I don't know how when you're talking about advice to new influencers, maybe they feel that way when they start. They constantly have to feel like imposter syndrome, right? Like I shouldn't be here. You know, what am I doing here? They're so good looking.
So how do you get over it?
I don't know.
Ask him. How do you get over it?
Go to the event, show face, go home, sleep, fly back the next day.
But I can imagine you wouldn't want to socialize, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
especially you are quite an introvert.
Oh yeah.
So a lot of influencers are also introverts there.
Surprising.
It's quite shocking.
Yeah.
So it's MKBHD actually. He's actually an introvert.
Yep.
I don't know who that is, but wow.
One of the top tech people. Top tech, yeah.
Well, tech people, I would assume that they are because they're nuts, ma.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
Well, they are very knowledgeable.
Yeah,
so I guess when it comes to tech reviews, there is a little bit of credibility in those guys.
Correct.
But I mean, a comment like that is not nice.
Yeah, it's not nice.
Okay. Anyway, next one. Does colorful hair help?
Help.
Does it help you in life?
It definitely
has helped you in life.
Yes.
Help you stand out maybe. You know, help you look special.
I do think so.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like having a very trademark look is something that's quite important. And it just so happens that I didn't do it purposely, but it just like
just stuck.
Just luckily got there because I like pink, you know, I like frilly things or like whatever. And I like a lot of attention. So inevitably I started doing this. And I know a lot of people don't like Trump, but he does have a very trademark
hair
look. Like not just the hair, but the fact that he is always in a suit and his skin is very orange, right?
Cheetos.
So it's like the whole you can draw a caricature of him and you immediately know it's him and it makes you remember a person. adds personality to that person. Right. And I really do think it helps. Yeah, make people remember you so you stand out. Yeah.
I think I used to do that when I was blonde. Then I gave up.
Your platinum blonde hair.
Now you are like half blonde.
Yeah, that took a lot of effort and a lot of hours at the salon. But yeah, when I think of you, it's automatically like pink hair. I don't see it as like something different. Now that I think about it, I can't imagine you in like any color.
When I think of you, I think of like Gucci jacket. You draw a caricature of him.
That's true. Gucci. Now it's Gucci. Okay. Used to be platinum blonde.
Moving on. Yeah. What advantages do influencers have these days that you didn't have back then? I think there's a whole lot of resources right now.
Yes.
There's a I think I've said this in previous podcasts, but when it comes to branded deals, we don't need to explain our job anymore. Oh, yes. We don't need to say, hey, check out digital marketing. This is the new thing. In the past, when we first started, there was a lot of convincing.
Yeah.
Now we don't need to do convincing. Correct. Like, they know.
I still remember, you know, I still remember the time when, like, I had a friend of mine, when I first started out, he said, you know, you're sitting on a golden goose, like, the golden egg? No, you have a golden goose. Okay, whatever. Anyway, you have a golden opportunity. So he said that you really have to treasure this because like people haven't seen the value in this yet, but they will eventually. So what he said is true lah. At that time it was a $0 industry, now it's a few billion. So he sort of predicted the future. And then he said, you know, that you should start actively looking for ads. And I was like, how am I supposed to do that? I'm supposed to go up to you and just be like, hey, you want to pay me some money? Mm. It's so crazy, right? The idea of it. And to do it at the age of like 19 with like, no help whatsoever.
Yeah.
I still think that I'm a child at heart. It's so difficult. Like, and then he said, no, you go and freaking do it. You come up with a portfolio for yourself. You come up with your rates. You tell them how much reach you have. You post all the newspaper articles, the interviews that have been about you, and you try.
Yeah.
Then he said, go, don't pay for your hair, nails, all this anymore. Why are you spending a few hundred dollars a month on it? He said, they should give it to you for free. Right, so this guy is really like freaking guru because he can tell the freaking future. Wow. And fast forward to today, no influencers pay for their own hair. But at that time, we did, right? So I said, okay, I'll try. And I really just so go and thick skin,
you
right?
You have to be thick skin.
I went up to the salon that I always go to. It was Kimmich at that time. So I just went to the receptionist. I said, can I get your boss's or somebody's like marketing person's contact number because I want to discuss a potential deal. Then the person was like, look at me, like I'm crazy, right? But I don't know how I did it, but eventually I managed to contact the boss, right? And I sat down for lunch with the boss, and at the time I was holding my like portfolio and like shaking, you know. I was just like, I don't know what am I doing with this like career woman, like 50 plus years old, and I don't even know. I'm freaking 19 years old, right? So I was like, okay, I would love to work with you guys. And then she looked at me and she was like, okay, sure. I was like, huh? Really? Oh, then after that, she said, yeah, you can go to our student salon and do your hair for free.
Good enough.
So got for students to do my hair, and a lot of times they actually ruin it because they are just learning. But you know, that was how it sort of started.
You literally crawled so that influencers today can fly.
Yeah.
Wow, what a way to put it. Yeah,
if only they were nicer to me.
Is there any influencer in Singapore that you look up to? I mean, because you're at the top already.
Yeah, dude.
I think, you know, I must say Tian Hao and Daniel, right? No, I think it's really cool that, like, you know, like you've grown so big over the years. Like, I knew you since you were so young. You were like just a kid last time.
We were kids.
Being like so heartbroken over Naomi.
She went there.
And then till today, where you're like trending in like so many countries, I think it's really good that you're doing Singapore proud. Bringing a bit of piece of Singapore overseas, lah. Yeah, that's great.
The proud big sister.
I am. Yeah.
So just me.
Influencers that I look up to, I would say,
I think from the way you describe Mong, I think her work ethic.
Definitely something that I look up to. I would hope that she has a bit more courage in showing, like, you know, like more of herself.
She's a bit reserved, right?
So she's very, I mean, I can't fault her for that also because it gives this like very safe image for the clients to go to. Yeah. But sometimes, but she is that nice lah. Yeah.
She is.
Yeah, but regardless, even the nicest of us would have some bitchy thoughts sometimes, right? You know, so, but other than that, I think that she shows a lot of professionalism. So I think that that is something that a lot of influencers can.
Yeah.
If everyone is so hardworking, I think maybe we can push the barrier just a little bit.
Yeah. Even as a production crew, we worked with her for reality TV.
Oh, yeah, that
was she was such a pleasure to work with. So easygoing.
Yeah, she's very nice.
Okay. Yeah. Next question.
What about you? Who you look up to?
Kylie Jenner.
Singapore, leh.
I think I would look up to you yourself.
Oh, okay,
as one of the leaders who paved the way. Dee Kosh. For just being himself.
Being real.
Right, yeah. I think that's so...
I think he does things that I could never do.
Being brave in saying your opinions and stuff.
And I think Ryan and Sylvia, I've always looked up to them and the way they have taught me a lot of things. Yeah, I think these are...
Is that Bunja? Something furry.
No,
it's your blanket.
Oh my god. I was like, what? Bunja,
there's something here.
No, it's my blanket. It's my blanket. Wow.
I got scared for a while too. I was like, what, really?
Okay. Right. You know who I looked up to actually? Stephen Lim.
Yes.
Hey, he's been around for a very long time.
And you know what? I heard he earned over $30,000 of happy birthday messages.
That's amazing, man. He is very entrepreneurial. He really is. Yeah. From plucking eyebrows, who would have thought that you can earn a living out of plucking
to
eyebrows?
Fitness, he does fitness.
To his like modeling agency.
Oh man. Oh
right?
Yeah. He's really an interesting character. Back in the day, we collaborated with him, not for any brand deals. It was just like one of the videos called Long Lost Brother, right?
It was horrible to watch, dude.
Hey, it was fun too.
It was so strange. At the time, virus from NOC was still working should, for us 1 or 2 days a week, right? So Stephen Lim came over. We caught him over. He came with a cake. So he baked a cake for us. And we were like, how sweet. But the cake was burnt. The whole cake was burnt. And we felt a bit bad eating. Not when we didn't want it. I'm not sure if you ate it. I know virus was very scared to eat it.
Yeah, I just saw it and I'm like...
But that was just really strange. Like, because at that time I didn't really know him. Right? I wasn't sure if, is this a character? Is he really
it
like
is
this?
It is real.
It's real.
It is real.
This People thing is real.
People have asked me that so many times. He really is like that.
Yeah.
And of all the bad comments that all three of us have got, he 100% got more.
Yeah.
And he deals with it so well. He's one of those people, right? No matter how you insult him, he is fine. And that is a freaking talent.
That is a talent in himself.
He's just like unfazed. He's like Teflon. Everything just bounces off him.
Waters off a duck's back. I really don't know.
So I think in that sense, he's very good natured. Lah. No matter what, he won't get angry. So you can just say whatever you want about him. It's fine.
Really an interesting guy.
He is.
What's the best drama or saga you've encountered?
Best saga.
I don't know. What would you think?
Or maybe the best you've been involved in?
Gush Club, I guess. Oh, Gush Club thing.
Oh, the fake email. Gush Club, the expose.
I think a lot of people were very interested in that one. And it was the Christmas present that gave and gave and gave.
Oh, yeah.
Because
We were in Vietnam. We were in Vietnam when that article released. We were like, oh.
And then it's like, it's so long, it's so juicy, and it involves so many characters.
Yeah.
And then after that, the WhatsApp chat leaked. And it was just like, whoa, there's more things to read about. Yeah. I think that was quite interesting.
I was so glad we were safe.
Yeah, that ripped apart the whole thing.
We were overseas just like, what's happening back home?
And then the CEO of like a freaking Singtel got fired for something. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It went that far.
I remember for like a few years, they were like, no social media marketing, no influencer, nothing.
Who spots that?
Yeah.
Check emails properly now.
The next one, how do you be so brave in front of social media?
I think it comes with many years of realizing that actually there's not that much bad consequences. Really? Because, so I remember that one of the first times that I had a very, very controversial post was the handicapped toilet one.
Oh, what was that about?
I posted that my brother walked past a handicapped toilet and one man wanted to go inside the handicapped toilet to use it because it was nearer than the rest of the normal toilets. Mm-hmm. So it's those standalone stores. It's not one of those that's inside a main toilet, right?
Yeah.
So he opened the door. There was a handicapped person already inside using the toilet. And he got scolded by, so my brother's just a witness, yeah. So the man who opened the door got scolded by the handicapped person. He said, "What are you even doing here? You're not even handicapped. You're not supposed to use this toilet." Right? So my brother came back to the dinner table, relayed this story to me and my mother, and he thought it was very funny that he witnessed this thing. And then I was just like thinking about it. Why are we not supposed to use a handicapped toilet? Like, it really, this is a very innocent thing. I've never been told that I'm not allowed to use the handicapped toilet.
Okay.
Right? I always, if I see empty, I'll just go and use it. To me, it's like spacious, ma, right? So I feel like, you know, it just really never occurred to me that this is a controversial idea. Uh-huh. So I posted about this incident. And I said that how can this handicapped person be so self-entitled? Like, I feel like this thing, right, is like, you firstly, you own self never lock the door. Right? People open the door, you're angry, right? And then like, whose fault is it that you never lock the door? And then secondly, it's like, I don't feel that the toilet belongs to only handicapped people, right? I feel like they can afford to wait outside for a little bit. Whoever is inside will come out soon, right? And if you cannot afford to wait, just knock on the door and say, "Hi, I'm handicapped. Can you hurry up? I really need to use the toilet. And this is the only one I can use," right? It's not like the person is unavailable in a parking lot where they take away the handicapped lot, right? It's not the same thing. So, when I posted about this, I was shocked, man.
A lot of hate.
A lot of hate.
So, I mean, I can see why.
Yeah.
I can see why.
Try posting that now.
Yeah. Bro.
Actually, I don't know. But I feel like it's very shocking to me. Because if you think about it, sometimes the handicapped toilet is inside the main toilet, right?
Yeah.
So there is a queue that is formed, right? Mm-hmm. And whoever is next will just go to whatever is the next available toilet. And I've never in my life seen the handicapped toilet kept empty. Have you?
If I can use it, I would use it.
I don't have good luck with that. Every time I try the candy cap, it's always locked. Okay, just, okay,
so which means that there's a huge majority of people who feel that a normal person can, like a handicapable person,
sure.
Like that, not handicapped person, can actually use.
But yeah. I guess it's made for handicaps.
Yeah.
It is lah. It is. Yeah. I feel like...
I believe handicapped have the priority.
They should have the priority. But this is not a case of priority because the handicap is already inside. He's just basically saying you're not allowed to use it full stop, even if it's empty.
Maybe he was upset that somebody opened the door and caught him in a...
Correct lah. And then somebody, like people also replied me and said sometimes it may be difficult for them to lock the door, which, okay, fine, I understand. And sometimes they said that it takes longer for them to take off pants and like whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So it should be kept empty for them. So there was two different schools of thought there. But my opinion until today is that I feel that you cannot on the door and ask the person to hurry up. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's not that bad. And anyway, yeah, so a lot of people were really, really angry about it. And you know what? They posted all their whatever they want. Two of my endorsing people, one of them was Kimmich, like I mentioned just now, they actually pulled out of the endorsement.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Because
so
you...
It got on the newspaper and everything.
Wow.
Yeah. So like, from then on, I refused to endorse products because I feel like I don't want to have this burden, right, where I'm supposed to be responsible. Like, you don't like me, then you go and pull out. I don't care that I lose the money. You know? I don't give a fuck. But I care that you're giving my haters something to gloat about.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. I just don't want to give them that freaking joy. Mm. Like, they are like, they post, then some consequence for me, you know? So after that, I don't want to be ambassador anymore. Then, but that was one of the first times. And it has taught me, right, that I refuse to apologize. I don't fucking apologize for it. I stick by my views. And
have you ever apologized?
No, never.
Really? For nothing?
Nothing.
I'm sure out of... out of all your controversial thoughts, there has to be one thing that is maybe not you feel sorry for, right?
No.
Nothing.
No.
Oh, that's interesting.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, you're a really strong person.
Well, I just feel like I think it's my opinion, right? I don't feel like I'm hurting anyone. Why must I apologize? What should I be sorry that your feelings are hurt? That's so stupid. Anyway, one of the people who scolded me was a Malaysian, literally handicapped person. And he was quite an influencer. And he got a lot of organizations to write emails to me.
Oh,
and
wow.
It was really bad because they are a very oppressed group of people, right? Which a lot of people feel very sorry for and I empathize fully. And I have nothing against handicapped people. But it's just this idea that you can tell people that this toilet should be left empty all the time for a handicapped person. And I just don't agree with that. I just feel like it should be shared with normal people, but like priority given to the handicapped people, you know?
All right. So in conclusion,
I just feel like over so many years, all the times that there are controversy, I just feel like nothing really bad happened to me. In fact, good stuff happened to me. So don't care.
I think you really thrive on this. That's why you're one person that thrive on this.
I mean,
you are so different from the previous person who was sitting there was Ryan. He can't stand any of it.
Yeah.
When there's news about him, he's upset.
Yeah.
And you are the complete opposite. You don't give a fuck.
It's not that I don't give a fuck. Sometimes I do, but I don't ever get sad. I don't ever get affected. I get angry.
Oh.
Sometimes I get indignant. That would be the word for I guess. Yeah, and I feel that every time, like, you know, these kind of things happen, yeah, sure, more people will dislike me. A lot of people say I'm toxic and they don't like me, I'm useless, the scum of Singapore or whatever not. But I feel like every time I post about something, there are the people who are still there truly like me and respect me. And even if they don't agree 100% with what I say, I feel like sensible people will say, I feel that she has a point. She may not have brought it across very politely, okay, but I respect that she's standing her ground. And every time I see an influencer groveling and apologizing for their opinion, I'm just like, grow a fucking spine. I know you don't feel sorry. You're just sorry that they are calling you out, right? Mm-hmm. And people will respect you so much more if you just stand your ground and explain where you came from.
Okay, but what if the president calls you out?
You know what? If that day ever happens, I'll still stand my ground.
Wow.
I mean, okay. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's what it is, law. I think, like, over the years, I have so many of these controversies.
But that's you and that's your brand.
I mean, like, it's hard lah when you have, like, you know, sometimes that the Twitter replies, I really cannot read finish, you know. They're insulting you non-stop, giving you death threats. And I hate it the worst when they actually attack your family as well.
Yeah.
So, like, nothing to do with my family, nothing to do with my friends. They go message my friends, leave nasty comments on my friend's page, say, why are you friends with this kind of person? Then they go and message my friends, like, my influencer friends. They message the clients of those influencer friends. What the fuck? Like, seriously, they will do anything. Like, it's horrible.
Wow. That's a bit far-fetched.
Yeah, it is lah.
Alright, moving on. If you could change one thing about the local social media industry, what would it be?
I changed that. I made myself taller.
Okay.
I'll make you taller to Jianhao together.
Oh, thanks. Okay, the next one. What sponsorships do you reject or accept?
Wait, I changed my answer.
Okay.
I hope that the people from the admin from the influencer Glassdoor, they move to somewhere else, like Pakistan or like some faraway country, and decide not to do this anymore.
Okay.
There's internet everywhere, by the way.
They care about something else, lah.
Okay.
They go to Amish village. No electricity.
What sponsorships have you rejected?
The chicken one. Or
aside from the chicken one?
Slimming. I feel like slimming, I am generally very skeptical.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You reasonable.
Guys? Oh, God. Dildo also. Dildo.
Well, I guess the dressing up. I reject so many, actually.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah, there's a lot that we reject, and I don't think it's because we hate it, but it's just something that doesn't feel like you want to do.
The feng shui of it. You know?
Feng shui. Oh, the MLM.
Yeah.
MLM stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, next one. This is the last one. How have you dealt with quarantine over the past 2 months?
Actually, at first, right, I felt a lot of anxiety and, like, sort of, not really depression, but just very sian about it. But actually now, you get used to it every day, then you feel it's not so bad, you know.
I felt excited at the start. Uh-huh. I was like, this is cool. Gonna
you
stay
spend
home.
Time
it's
with
gonna be
Starling.
Awesome. But then I realized that there was no line between work and normal life anymore.
Actually, I had no work, full stop.
well, then obviously that's nice, right?
Yeah.
But the income will be affected, right?
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
And I just think that it's like, it's more like at the start, then you feel like there is this, like, no end point to it. You don't know when it's going to end, especially when they extend it by another month. And after that, you start to think, is it going to be 4 months, 5 months, 6 months? How are the people who are, you know, I worry for people like, you know, like, my nail sponsor person, like, for example, right? I am just like, oh my god, she's so poor thing, you know, like, and then people who like sponsor my massage also cannot open, aesthetic clinics cannot open. Then I feel like so bad for my friends. So
and then the news is
the
it's
news is like
every day
having income,
and unemployment going up. But it's so weird because I did a poll to ask people whether they lost any income.
Yeah,
you know, do you see the answer?
No,
was you guess how many percent said that their income is negatively impacted after COVID-19?
I would say 30%.
30? You?
80.
Wow, so high. I was quite surprised. It was 45 affected, 55 not affected. It was actually somewhere in between the two of you all. Lower than I expected, honestly.
45 is still a lot.
Is a lot.
No, I read there was this article on Straits Times. Well, now that the artist thing came out, you know, it's hard to find credibility in these surveys. But there was one article where they asked a bunch of employees whether they would worry about their job. And I think 13% said they are not worried.
13?
Yeah.
That is very low. What?
No, 13% said they are not worried.
Worried?
Yeah. So, which means...
A lot of people are worried.
87% said they are worried whether they get job cut, less bonus. Oh, right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a very high number.
It's a very high number. Yeah. That's a lot of people.
I'm actually very surprised because when I saw the number, I felt like there's a surprising amount of people who are not affected. Firstly, it's because there are some government help. Yeah. So they're not being fired yet. So maybe they can't see the results yet.
Yeah.
And to an employee, if I get a pay, like, how do I say, when the company's not earning, it doesn't affect me that much. I just need to know whether I'm being paid, right? So that's their answer. But it doesn't reflect on whether the company has been very negatively affected. They could still be hired.
We'll start seeing the effects in the next few months.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Yeah. And Sophie also said something that makes sense. She said of the 45%, it may not be a small pay cut, right? It could be drastic from 100 to 0%. So meaning completely lose your job. So for the 45%, it could be very serious, but we don't know the percentage of reduction in pay or the percentage how much they are being affected. But I think if you ask business owners, I think the number would be much, much higher.
I think so.
Yeah. How do we get from how are you doing in quarantine to become this economics lecture?
Economic lecture. I'm just glad I'm here with a job.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we're going to end it here. Thank you so much, Sergio, for coming on our podcast.
Thank you.
And I will see you tomorrow on your interview.
Yes. All right. Interviewing Jian Hao.
Yes. So thank you so much for coming. You can watch the main podcast here and you can subscribe here. And we'll see you in the next podcast. Bye.
Bye.